This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.
Welcome to Wahine Atua, a space made for and by women in Taranaki. Whether you're tuning in at home, work, or with a cuppa in hand, you're in great company. Join us now for chats, laughter, real korero, and a whole lot of wahine power. It's Wahine Atua, on now here at Access Radio Taranaki. Welcome along to Wahine Atua for another Wednesday afternoon. Marcia, how are you?
I'm not too bad. I think I'm probably like the rest of Taranaki at the moment. I'm a little bit snotty and got a little bit of a cold, but we're on Zoom, so I'm not infectious.
No, that's good. I must admit, I think half of Taranaki's probably got the flu or know somebody who's got the flu at the moment. It seems to be going around, isn't it?
Well, thank goodness mine's just a cold and not man flu.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, I sent you and the other Wahine Atua ladies a video clip because obviously on social media you see different videos pop up at Reels and all the rest of it. And I came across this guy who I found really quite interesting. His handle on Facebook was called She's Not Crazy. And as soon as I saw that, I thought, huh, what's this? I had a look on it. And so to start this show today, I'm actually going to play it. It's about him talking about mansplaining, and then, Marcy, you and I can have a chat about this afterwards. So let's play it. She's Not Crazy. This is the clip.
I'm going to mansplain post-menopause to you. I've spent a long time talking about the brutality of perimenopause, the 10 years of turbulence, the hot flushes, the insomnia, the brain fog, the joint pain, the grief, the rage. The crossing. All of that's real. I'm not taking any of it back. But there's a beat to this story most of us never get told. And it isn't the suffering. It's what comes out the other side. Across the whole animal kingdom, almost nothing lives long past the end of its fertility. The female reproductive arc ends, the body shuts down soon after. Human women don't. They live 30, 40 years post-menopause, sometimes more. Biologists call this the grandmother hypothesis. The idea that women evolved to live long past their fertile years because the tribe needed them. Not to make more children, to hold the children that were already there. To know things nobody else remembered. To carry wisdom and stories across generations. We're one of the only species on the planet built to have elders, female elders, by design. And then look at what we call her. We call her a hag. That word, hag, comes from the Greek hagia. It means holy. A hag wasn't an insult. A hag was a holy woman, a wise woman. A woman past the cycle, past the caretaking, past the performance, clarified. In German, the word for crown is Krone. And there's a reason so many old languages put a crown on her at this point in her life. Because the brain coming out of menopause isn't broken, it's settled. Lisa Moscone's neuroimaging work shows the postmenopausal brain stabilizes into a new architecture. Quieter, clearer, less hormonally pulled. The biology that spent 40 years pushing her to caretake, to scan, to soothe, to soften, to please, goes quiet. And what's left is her. So here's the job. When the woman in your life comes out the other side of perimenopause and she is no longer the woman that you married, don't grieve her. Recognize her. She isn't broken. She isn't cold. She isn't difficult. She's been crowned.
Well, Marcia, we're all hags. How about that?
Hag with a crown.
Absolutely. You were saying beforehand there was something that happened to you when you were a teenager.
Yeah. I remember answering an ad in the newspaper. Sorry, I've just got the costume coming back.
Oh, dear.
I answered an ad in a newspaper, I was about 13, and it was asking for Young people who've got a good relationship with older people, particularly grandparents. And I've got a really good close relationship with my grandmother, or my nanan, as I called her.
Nice.
And I was actually interviewed on a TV magazine show called Where There's Life by a Dr. Miriam Stoppard. And it was all about why I developed this relationship with my grandparent and how it differed from my parent. And there were lots of things that resonated with what this guy's just said. And it was about the wisdom that she had and about the non-judgment, and that she gave me a almost a balanced opinion as opposed to a mother's nurturing opinion. So, like, I could go to her and talk to her about issues, and she'd advise me on how to actually speak to my parents about whatever. But sometimes I just wanted to go and have a bit of a moan, either about school, but to be it to be in a environment where I could just have a moan about it without then thinking anything other, like, oh, am I being bullied? I'm a da 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 da. You know, so it was kind of like just having that almost a trusted friend, but with all these years of wisdom. But actually, I'd not really thought about it until I listened to that. That's why, because I mean, she was, let me think. So she'd been about 48, 49 when I was born. So by the time I'm at 13, she was well and truly menopausal, past the perimenopause stage. And I used to pass her house on my way home from school. So she was convenient and easy to go and see. And I got on, I mean, I'm first grandchild. So lived with her, me and my mum and dad lived with them for the first couple of years. So we were all naturally close. But yeah, it was kind of like having that another layer of wisdom. And actually, what you said just makes perfect sense.
I think so. Listening to him, it made sense to me. I didn't have the grandparents with the feminine side on, both paternal and maternal, because they both my grandmother on my mum's side had died when I was only two, and my grandmother on my father's side, I think I was about 25, but she lived quite a way away from us. So it wasn't until the last years of her life that I ever actually spent any, significant sort of time with her. So I wouldn't say we were exceptionally close, but I had an aunt who was like what you were talking about, like with your grandmother, Marcia, and it was
I think
like
it's
that.
important, eh?
Yeah, it was. And funnily enough, now that I'm a nana, I hope, and it's quite funny, I hope that I have that relationship with my grandchildren. And it is quite funny, because I've been reading up lately. When you read things or you see things, and you think, oh yeah, it is like that. And that is that you sort of you love them, and but you bring the good side of it. It's not about bringing the, like, you're obviously still concerned, but it becomes even more unconditional, if you know what I mean. Like, yeah, that's the way I would describe it. Like, it's not, you're not, you can be there for the good times and the bad times, but it's a different feeling. It is quite different. Yeah, that
It's
is
that
quite
step back,
interesting.
and I think, and I mean, I think one of the things we've spoke about, not just on here but with friends, is be careful how I say it, because I'd probably swear if we weren't on here. You kind of give less of a bother
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I would
when
say
you
you
get
don't
that
give a shit
beholden
as
through the
much, do you?
menopause.
Yeah, I think so too. And it is like that as you get older. Yeah. Quite interesting that a bloke is here doing this and mansplaining it, as it were, to other men, which I think is a really good thing, because it's quite interesting. I know, for example, with The Breakfast Show, Brian won't say the word menopause. He has major problems. And it just makes me laugh. So I can't help but wind him up and try and get him to say it. And, like, even as you know, I'm directing Vagina
I was
Monologues.
just thinking, is he coming to Vagina Monologues?
He'll come, but he'll come under protest. And this last week, we've had our first read through, first rehearsal. And one of the things that a few of the women were saying that seemed to be a frequent theme was that when they were letting family and friends know that they'd got a part in the show, was that the men immediately said, oh, is it women talking about their bodies? Oh, I'm not coming to that. And yes, they do talk about their bodies, but there's a lot of it that's not about that. But it's definitely not a play that's just for women. But it makes you realise, like, here we are, 2026. there still is a lot of men out there who just cannot face anything to do with women's reproduction or, you know, it's quite bizarre.
There's a lot of men out there who can't do anything to do with women.
Yeah, well, absolutely there is. But
I'm not suggesting that I'm talking heterosexual men.
Yeah. They know, but it is. It's quite strange, yeah. I don't understand. It's a bit like, you know, like we were saying at rehearsal this week, was that how connotations for female genitalia, that a lot of people can't say the word vagina. And I find that really bizarre that they can't say that. Or, you know, I can remember when the girls were little, they learned, you know, as most kids do, they learn their body parts, and we used the correct anatomy. That's what we used. It was never anything, and it never became anything. It never was a big...
I don't think the word vagina came into my psyche probably until I were a teenager. Might have been a bit younger.
Yeah, it's funny, eh?
But it were your tuppence, your difference, your fanny if you were going to be really out there, you know.
Yeah.
Your fuff.
Yeah, foo-foo.
Your la-la.
I know, isn't it funny? And I mean, you only have to watch Miriam Margoyles, don't you, when you see her, what she calls it. I mean, I find that the most hilarious. She's just my favourite. But, you know, like, that, she's just blatantly obvious, but she won't say necessarily, she'll call it your front body or things like that. And I find it just, it's gorgeous, but it's really quite funny. But it's really shown me, and also this guy's saying about it, I thought, oh, like, how many men will cope with, you know, actually talking about their wives having menopause or wives having bits and pieces. Poor old Marcy's got the coughs going on. She's trying to sort herself out. I'll carry on blabbing. Poor old thing. Is that, you know, like, how many men do still have a struggle with talking about things and supporting women through, as we go through, for want of a better term, and the term that I hate more than anything else is the change. But it is quite interesting how he talked about how you come through it and you evolve and you become this, you know, as he called us, the hags, or you're the crown, or you're the holy one. I mean, what a lovely term to be able to say that we're holy ones, because I think I've definitely gone through and out the other side now. But that while, as we've all talked about, was freaking horrendous. It was bloody diabolical, you know, those first stages, wasn't it? You would have felt like that too, Marcy. I know we've talked about it a fair bit. Yeah, it's not good.
Oh, just putting my
She's
thing
putting
back on.
Back on her mic. Mm-hmm.
Oh, excuse me.
Not much fun.
It's all this talk of
fuffs
and everything else.
It's talking about the front body, does it, to you every time?
Yeah, I think I might, not that I've necessarily had hot flushes, but I think I might be having one right now.
Yeah.
I just had to strip down to my vest.
It's all right. It's all good.
That's all the excitement.
Yeah, Imagine,
I hope I'm not like this when I come to see the play.
No, actually, we were laughing this weekend about all the things that we could do and the things that you could, you know. But we were thinking, like, wouldn't it be really funny? And this is only, you can only say this is to women, and obviously we're hoping that it's just women who, well, not just women, but the majority of people will be female who listen to this podcast. But one of the things we were saying about, you know, how when you were first ever go to a workplace and they do the silly Christmas things and they put the photos up of you as a baby and you have to try and guess which the baby is the person. And then we thought, maybe we do something else, you know. And then it was, I don't know whether I'd be that keen on going to the loo with the cell phone and taking a selfie, as it were. But
I'm not sure I want to know
I don't think I know.
Right,
it's
now.
Quite funny, eh? And the other thing,
and to be honest, due to my size, I'm not sure I could get a good look.
Yeah, no.
I mean, my body size. I'm not talking about the size of the JJ.
But it is.
Stop digging. I'll just stop digging. It's getting a bit too far now.
Isn't it funny, though? But it is quite funny when you think about it. And then, because of the other thing that came out, was quite a few of us who were there had surgery that was prolapse or hysterectomies, as I've just had, and all the rest of it. And it was quite funny to listen to when you wake up, like for me, I was saying about when I woke up and then found out that they'd done a hysterectomy and other things, and it was like, oh, this is quite different to what I went in for. And things feel quite different down there, and how different it can be. And it's like, what got me was you get a group of seven women together, and the stories that were being shared from either themselves personally or through friends that they'd had who'd been through similar sorts of procedures, and what the outcome was. And I thought, this is so good because we don't do it often enough as women.
That's right.
We don't
That's
actually
right. You
talk
think
about this.
when actually you think it could be really scary and something that's happening to you and nobody else, and you're sitting in a room with
Absolutely.
women and
Yeah,
you hear about it.
wholeheartedly. It's actually quite interesting. One of the women in the cast, she's got young children, and she was saying about how so funny that her little kids, girls, will talk about their vaginas quite openly and say things like, "Look at my vagina," or "Is that your vagina?" Or, and they just use it like they're talking about, "Is that your arm?" And I thought, God, that's so cool. It is so cool that,
Well, I remember so like as a kid, and even my cousins coming after me, there were lots of things that we didn't call by the real names. Then you have to relearn what the real names are. So I'm not just talking about body parts. I'm talking about instead of a horse, it were a Bobbo or a Gigi. So why call them these other words? Why didn't you just call them what
Do you
they
think it is
are?
like this guy, obviously, when we just played that clip before? Do you think it's because with him mansplaining and trying to make men feel it's okay to talk about that? Do you think it's a lot of it is to do with just awkwardness? Like I
Yeah.
think that that's what he's referring to.
Yeah. I mean, I just going back to the vagina monologues again, I remember when it came out, and my mum were going to see it. And I'm like, oh, she needs to take some earmuffs because, there's words
Oh, absolutely. It's
that are
out there.
not fufu or difference. And I
It's not,
thought, oh,
no, there's no fluff on this, I call it. It's pretty exposed out there all for all to see, as it were.
and they're only words, and if they're
Absolutely.
used in a way for something that we know that it's describing and
Absolutely.
not in a hurtful, disrespectful way, because any word can be that. But she was okay, she's still here, she can still, she survived, the world didn't stop spinning.
Yeah, it is funny though, because I know, like when you think at things, and I guess a bit like I can remember when the girls were little, we did use it. Like, I mean, vagina and penis were mentioned, but the kids would call their dad, "Dad's got a willy, eh?" Like they'll say "willy," and they'd laugh and they'd think that was hilarious. And then they'd move on, but it never became a big deal. And it wasn't until they're a bit older, that probably about 7 or 8, that they discovered the word penis was the funniest word in the whole world. Because they'd say it quite often and then laugh like hell, thinking it was the funniest thing ever.
Do you think using the dictionary terms for male and female genitalia has got a connotation of sexualization?
Yes, I do think there is that.
Because maybe, because I remember like friends who were teachers and that they used to. If children were using specific language a lot at school in a specific way, it could be a flag.
You're right. Yeah, I do think that.
So is that, but hopefully we've moved on as a.
Well, you'd hope so. I don't know whether you've seen the video clip lately of, obviously, with what's going through government at the moment with the whole gender identification, which I just don't understand. I don't understand that we're at 2026 and they want to move us back to the bloody Stone Age. I don't understand that at all. And
And
one of
to
the
be honest, if it's anything to do with government at the moment, I'm tending to be a little bit, not a little bit, a lot of bit, ignoring it.
Well, nothing will surprise me at the moment at all. Nothing will surprise me. But one thing which did come out was I watched a video clip again. It was a reel of an interview that they'd done, and it must be on some talk show that's going to come out or something. I can't remember what it was about now or who it was, but it was this person who now is presents as male, was born intersex, and the decision was made 56 years ago to assign him as male at birth because he had been born with both male and female genitalia, and they felt it was easier to literally sew his vagina up. But that's all realistically they did. So through his whole teenage years and through puberty, he went through having a period and menstruating, but not being able to menstruate because everything was sewed up.
Oh
And
my
then,
God.
I know, and then what got me for this poor person was that they said, I identify as female, but the decision was made for me, and how wrong it is. And it got me thinking, was that, if we're using the correct terms, how much do you actually, like, what should we be saying? Should that be a thing? Like, in all, like, do you know what I mean? Like, should it be a thing? I don't absolutely care whether my grandsons run around in pink tutus and pretend that they're fairies. How beautiful if they can use their imaginations and do what they like. I don't care, and the parents are not going to care. It's got nothing to do with it. It's just as long as they're happy, well-adjusted little kids. But it's that whole thing of going, like to have that decision being made by other people, or alternatively, people, like how much do we disclose? And if men like this guy here is having to mansplain what postmenopause is for blokes to try and make them feel awkward, how the hell are we ever going to explain to children the correct or not correct terminology or whatever? Do you know what I mean? Like, it just is.
It just beggars belief that somebody made a decision when that person were
I
born,
know. I
that
don't
they've got both
understand.
set of genitalia and both set of internal organs, for want of a better word. Did they not think about the consequences going forward?
I don't think so. And it's like somebody from, we were talking about it at the rehearsal for Vagina Monologues, and somebody said that their mum worked in a hospital where those children were taken. And literally, like, there were quite a few births that were intersex births. And the fact that it was any decision making was taken off the parents. It was the hospital made the decision, and again, and that alone, I think, is quite bizarre.
Mind you,
I
it's
don't.
not that long since, Tracy, that if somebody had a stillborn baby, it would just taken away.
Well, yeah, I know that firsthand, and it's quite funny because you say that, because I can remember when my little boy was born, which was 31 years ago. I mean, I got to hold him, but I watched my mum say to me she never got a chance to see her baby. He was, and then to find out that he was buried in an unmarked grave that the hospital organised, and they couldn't tell him where he was. He was just in row Z or whatever it was, and probably at the end of an aisle, but they couldn't tell
Yeah,
us
but previous
much.
to that, the stillborn baby would have been taken away and incinerated,
Absolutely. Yep.
which
Wholeheartedly.
is just
I know, isn't it? It's
so
just,
hopefully things will move on.
I hope so, but it does worry me. But I, yeah. And it's a bit like we think of how we've evolved as humans, particularly when it comes to things like menopause. And you think of, it wasn't that long ago. We weren't, none of us, we wouldn't have had this conversation 10 years ago, Marcia. Probably even
No.
10 years ago, would we have, like, would we have sat here and
Five.
talked about it? No, that's it. And it has changed a lot. And it's a bit like, I must admit, one of the things that came out, which made me think, and I thought, oh God, how my thought process has changed as I've got older. I see that they're relaunching Miss Taranaki here again, and great that they are. But there's a real big part of me who goes, I get the icks immediately. And I know it shouldn't, but I do. And yet I've been a was a teenager growing up in that. My sisters all did those pageants and did all of that stuff. And there's a lot of positivity about them.
Well, it should be an ambassadorial role.
Absolutely. That's what I don't think it should be anything to do with what a person looks like. But now I think we've come to that stage now where we've reached where it is more like that. But then I look at the 60 plus men, the stale pale male, as I call them, who do still think like that. And do still, they're the ones who can't say, I'm sorry, Brian, but can't say the word menopause.
I
There's
don't
quite a
think
few
it's
men
just
out
that
there.
demographic, though.
Yeah, no, it's not
And
probably.
it's not just men. There's,
No.
I mean, you referenced it earlier. I mean, calling perimenopause and everything the change, which is actually a good word for it, because holy shit, it is a change.
Far out,
And
yes.
it's you don't go back to what you were. It's not just a period
Oh.
of flux that you go back to what you were. You are categorically a different person.
So have you found that you've got, because I've definitely noticed in the last 3 months I've got a lot calmer. I seem to have got a lot calmer for me, but I don't know whether it's because I've gone onto a better patch and it's making me calmer, or whether it's just the fact that I've come out and gone through the worst of it. But I certainly feel a little bit calmer. My biggest thing, as you know, and I've talked about it a lot, was rage. It was horrendous.
Mine was overwhelm. That was mine. And I think the thing that I guess that I'm recognizing in myself more so in the last few years is not that I was ever fiercely ambitious. I've never wanted to climb a corporate ladder. I've always wanted to do well and be good at what I do. But I mean, I laughingly say, a few years ago, somebody asked me what my career aspirations were, and I said, retirement. And I'm actively, my brain is, when I'm planning anything, I mean, with my work, I'm thinking, right, I'm 59 in June, that I've 6 years before I can get the super. If we get to a situation where we're fortunate enough that I could stop work or reduce my hours, then I would, because there's lots of other things I want to do with my time. We're planning on, we've just done a big, taking some advice and on what we can, done a little bit of financial coaching. To stop me spending unnecessarily. I think they call it the fritter.
Oh, God, I know. Yeah, it's hard.
So that we can knock off the mortgage sooner than we thought. Because to be honest, if we were still in the UK, we'd be mortgage free by now. But moving to the other side of the world and restarting and doing stuff, it kind of knocks you back a bit with things like it did us anyway, not necessarily everybody. So yeah, I'm kind of. And I'm looking forward to that period of me, that chapter.
Oh, I know. I feel the same. I hear you. I
And I
do
kind of
hear
see it as my third phase of adulthood.
you.
So you kind of get, forget teenage and up to leaving school. And then I had that time, I'd say up until my 40s, that 20 years to my 40s. 20 to 40 were a period of change and flux for me. I was finding my way. Didn't go to university. I was trying to find myself a career path. I had a marriage and a divorce and then met Matthew in that period. Lived on a boat, so it was kind of my forming, my storming phase. And then I got comfortable with who I was. So like, and I'm in that next phase, that 20 year section, that 40 to 60. And then hopefully I'm going to get the 60 to 80-ish, 60 to 90-ish.
I know, I
And
hear you.
everything that I'm doing in the next 6 years is laying, and I'm a bit late to the party, but I'm trying to lay the foundation so that the next chapter can be comfortable.
That sounds like a good plan, my dear. Hey, I
And
hate
that's what I'm
to
trying to do.
we have run out of time again, yet again. We need to talk about this again. We must pick this up next week, actually, to talk about what your plans are. We'll do that next time here on Wahine Ato. Have a great week.
Back you too.
Thanks for listening to this episode. For more information and others just like this, head along to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.